Dan mentioned, that's part of our mission and vision here at Mandarin United Methodist Church is transformed lives by loving God and loving neighbor, touching hearts for God, and by equipping the young. And what a blessing it is to be able to see our young people lead and do some amazing things. And we're just so grateful for the work of our children's ministry department, our youth ministries, and just how they have really incorporated into their DNA an opportunity to see lives being transformed even at a young age. So with that being said, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all. I'm Jeff St. Clair. I'm one of the pastors here at Mandarin, and I do see some visitors out there. So welcome to Mandarin United Methodist Church here this morning. And just pray that you will sense God's Holy Spirit and as you worship here and as you share in the fellowship with one another. So welcome to worship here this morning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we are just so grateful for this opportunity to gather together here this morning, to be able to grow in your word, to be able to share in fellowship with one another, and to be able to be sent out into this world by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray that you will bless the words to which I'm about to speak. May they be your words, O Lord, and may we be able to live them out as we are called followers of your Son, Jesus Christ. All of this we pray in the precious name of Christ our Savior. Amen. So, not this past week, but the week before, I took a quick trip, a 2.5-day trip back to Pittsburgh to see my mom and dad and to be able to see my sisters. I haven't seen my parents since last June and just really thought now's the time that I need to get up there and see them. And I hadn't been up there in the wintertime in nearly 5 years. Now, I'm a Florida boy now, and you go up north, and it's a little bit chillier. Although it was 50 degrees in Pittsburgh, it still felt frigid to me. But I enjoyed being there, and I enjoyed being able to spend time with my parents and my sisters and their families. But being a Floridian now, there's one thing that I noticed that really has changed for me. How life is done in my hometown area and how life is done here in Florida. You know, I live in St. John's. And if you live in St. John's, just about every day you see a construction vehicle, right? The whole county is under construction. Everything is booming. It's changing so rapidly. Things are moving at such a great pace. But whenever I went back to Pittsburgh, one of the things that I witnessed around society, around buildings and everything, was that time has stood still. Now, don't get me wrong. I love where I grew up. I love Belle Vernon. It's a great town. That's a picture of Main Street. Downtown Belle Vernon goes right along the Monongahela River. You see all the cracks in the road. I wish the picture was a little larger, but nothing has changed. That might have been paved when I was 10. But still going today. But what I found is I didn't see any new buildings. And the beautiful buildings that I had growing up as a kid, like the bank and everything, had completely fallen apart. The walls were falling off. The bricks were falling off. Things were put up for sale. Nobody was buying. It was a sad state of affair for what I saw was once a beautiful little town. Literally has fallen apart. You know, it makes me sad to see that a whole group of people that I grew up with has conformed to the way things are. I will say that the Mon Valley, where I grew up, Belle Vernon, this is an area that really took a hard hit back in the mid-1980s. The steel mills left, and when they left jobs and everything. But the steel mills left, and it just really created a huge void in the area. And after that, unfortunately, people seemed to conform with the mentality of this. There's nothing left for me to do, so I'm just going to give up. And that's what happened. People gave up, and they haven't adjusted to any new way of living. They've just gone with mediocrity. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some nice areas in Belle Vernon and other places. There are some people who have really pushed further and to get past those tough times. But this is really the norm of what I see when I go back home. And I saw that. And then I was at a connecting flight in New York, and I was watching the television. And as I was watching the television, I was watching a news source. And they had a picture come up of North Korea. And it made me start to think about North Korea. The entire society of North Korea is conformed to the image of their supreme leader. What he says, everyone does. People conform their beliefs to his. So I look at my hometown, and I look at an entire population of people, and I think to myself, there has to be so much more to life than this. And I think to myself sometimes, is it time to unplug conformity of doing life the way we've always done it? We're here for but a short while. Why then do we conform to the image of others or conform to an entire way of life when God desires so much more for our way of living? And these are the questions that I wrestle with. And I'm sure that you wrestle with these questions too. And so maybe you've been going through the motions for so long. And you're sitting here and it's starting to jog your mind to say, now what, God? What do you want for us to do in our lives? Are we supposed to do more? Or do I just find myself content just going through the motions? Today we're just about halfway or a little bit past halfway in our Unplugged series. This is our Lenten series. It's a time where we can really unplug, distract from all those distractions that we have in life, to be able just to unplug and examine ourselves as to who we are and what we are called to be as a follower of Jesus Christ. And as we go into Romans, we see Paul addressing these very questions in life. And Paul answers this question with a two-step process. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to open up to Romans chapter 12 here this morning, or you can follow up on the screen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, Paul here is calling the Roman people to a higher standard of living, going beyond mediocrity. So often we become so content in our mediocrity. And Paul says we are to be living sacrifices. Now, when you think about the word sacrifice, what comes to mind? Anybody? Nothing? What is it? Giving something up. Pushing yourself. Now, sometimes you hear giving till it hurts. So there should be a pain in having a sacrifice. So Paul's saying here, you are to be a living sacrifice, which means you got to get out of your comfort, folks. You got to move past this and offer yourself as a living, your whole body, to God, and calling us to move beyond what makes us comfortable. Paul's calling us to devotion here, to live in utter devotion unto God, And Paul wanted the Roman people to live in a constant, consistent sacrifice, not something that would just come and go on a Sunday from 11 to 12. But Paul was saying here, you got to live into this, guys. You can't just do it for an hour a week or less. Paul was urging the people that this living sacrifice was to be wherever you are at. If a person is at a store, their body lived for God. If a person's at the gym, their body lives for God. If their body's at school, their life lives for God. And as we live into this living sacrifice, we see that Paul means that we are all to be in, not halfway, but called to be all in. It's a total investment, folks. It's 100% investment in living for God. And Paul gives us these two steps in how to do this. The first step is this. He said, do not conform to the patterns any longer of this world. The text in Greek, it actually means to stop being molded by this age. That's what the literal translation of this means. To stop being molded and shaped by this age. In other words, we have to look at our lives and we have to make sure that we're not following the culture, the attitudes of this culture, the attitude of this age to shape us. But it's so easy to let the culture shape us, right? Turn on television. TV shapes us. It shapes our language. It shapes our attitude towards other people. It shapes our willingness to stand up for social issues. It shapes our acceptance of violent acts. You know, we're no longer just passive participants. Because as we watch television, we're actively thinking. And lots of thinking is going on as we watch. Let's shift gears a little bit. Some of you might not watch much TV. But I know that you got iTunes on here. Let's shift gears on iTunes and playlists. What are we listening to? Is the music that we're listening to shaping who we are? Let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk social media. Social media definitely shapes us, right? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. All right, teens, am I missing another one? Anything that's out there that we don't know about? What is it? Got that. Anything else? What is it? Oh, yes, YouTube. YouTube shapes us. What is it, Hope? MySpace. Yeah, thanks, Bill. We all know what generation he's from. But these social media platforms, they shape us into who we are. And think about social media. It has completely redefined what friendship is today. And we buy into that. We buy into that definition. And many of us follow it. Cultural shifts shape us. Think about it. Materialism, status. What makes us a person of value, we ask? Is it style trends? Could it be self-centeredness that makes us? What about pride? These are all massive thinking shapers. We can't avoid it because it's right there in front of us. We're always going to be shaped by the patterns of this world. But the question is, as followers of Jesus Christ, what are we going to do about it? Do we just conform and follow the ways of the world? No. Paul here is calling us to no longer conform to these ways. God doesn't want us to have lives that are unthinking. God doesn't want us to have lives that are directionless and just wavering wherever. God doesn't want us to have lives that are purposeless. Because God truly desires for us to have a purpose in this life, to give us direction. And so too often, we don't follow it, do we? We don't follow the instructions that are right here in this word. And there's some incredible instructions in the word. I encourage you someday to open up Proverbs. What a great read. It'll give you some direction. It'll give you some wisdom. There's a man who goes to the doctor. Doctor, I'm coughing my head out. It feels like my lungs, they're burning up. Let's have a look, says the doctor. And he examines him. It's not looking good, the doctor says, but you're in luck. I've got a bottle of medicine right here. The instructions are on the bottle. It'll clear up in 3 days, the doctor said. Well, 5 days later, the man returns back to the doctor's office and says, Doctor, you told me that this stuff would clear me up in 3 days. I'm no better. I'm actually worse. The doctor said, Did you read the instructions? Of course I read the instructions. It said take. The doctor snatches it out of his hand. He says, Give me that bottle. This bottle is unopened. He didn't say I had to open it, the man said. Listen, you came in to see me. I examined you. I diagnosed your problem. I gave you the medicine. Now it's up to you. How many times have we seen in life where people know that God has the power to transform their lives? That people know that God can bring healing, that God can bring deliverance, that God can bring wisdom, that God can bring counsel, but they just don't seem to get around to being in communion with God on a regular basis. I'm giving it to you. Take it. Open it up. I'm giving it to you. You know, another way to think about this, I heard a pretty cool illustration, is to think of your life as a thermometer and as a thermostat. Think about your life as a thermometer. Now, a thermometer does what? Measures the temperature. It tells you what the temperature is. So it's controlled by the environment that it's in. That's all its purpose is to be controlled by the environment. It conforms to its environment, right? Think about a thermostat. The thermostat controls the temperature. When we moved here to Florida, what did we keep it on, Jen? 69, 70 degrees? And it was somewhere around there. And we adjusted our climate to now, where in the summertime, we try to keep it around 78. Yeah. We're Floridians now. This summer, we might keep it at 80. No, don't do that. Okay, all right. But you see, the thermostat controls the temperature. And that is the first step in this process. Don't be the thermometer, be the thermostat. Don't conform to your environment. Be in control of who you are and what God is calling you to be. Now the second step, Paul says, is to be transformed. To be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Now in the Greek, this word transformed sounds like metamorpheo. Now, if you think about it in the English word, metamorphosis, it means an undergoing transformation, something that is changing in life. I once heard that God can take a mess and turn it into a message. And I love hearing stories of transformation. When I hear these stories as to how God has worked in someone's life, it's so freeing to hear. It's so relieving to hear, because we all find ourselves in a mess from time to time. And why not let go and let God take over? We long for transformation. We long for transformation in our own lives. We long for transformation in our relationships. We long for transformation in our marriages and everything else that we face. That's what we long for. Why don't we let God do it then? Because we don't want to let go of control. And when our minds are renewed and our lives are transformed, then we can do with what Paul closes with here today. Then we will be able to test. Then we will be able to approve what God's will is, His perfect, His pleasing will. You see, there's so much beauty in transformation. And so my challenge for you this week is to let go, to unplug from all the distractions, all the things that this world throws your way, and it's so easy to follow the way of conformity and to really follow the way of transformation. Because you're in control of your life. No one else is in control of your life. You are. And that's the gift of free will that God has given us. There's so much beauty in transformation, folks. And so what will you be doing to stop conforming to the way the world wants you to live, and how you will begin to undergo a metamorphosis, a change of life that will bring about for you a life of transformation? Here in just a moment, we're going to be going into the sacrament of Holy Communion. It's going to be a time where you can. This is what God desires in this sacrament. A time where you can let go and no longer conform to the ways of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is God's pleasing will for you. And so as you come forward for communion, I invite you to receive that bread, to know that this bread is more than just physical bread, that it symbolizes something so much greater, that it symbolizes nourishment, that it symbolizes growth, health and wholeness, inwardly and also outwardly. And as you take the cup, know that this cup of salvation that was poured out for you and for so many by our Lord Jesus Christ was meant so much more than just a drink of juice. That was meant to cleanse you, to take you away of your conformity, and to move you into a life of transformation. So I invite you to come today, renewing your mind in Christ Jesus. Our prayer rails will be open for you to pray, to light a candle. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you need praying for. Maybe it's your own personal self, or you just want to say, God, I light this candle because I want you to be the light of my world. I'm so tired of the darkness that invades my soul. Use this time as a time to cleanse yourself from everything that has hindered you from living a transformed life. And to lead us into our time of communion, I'd like to invite a dear sister, a dear friend of mine, Caroline Barkowski, to come up and lead us in prayer.